National homeowner equity is up. In fact, it's at $26,300 year over year as of quarter four in 2020. And where does that put Connecticut and your home? I'm Byron Lazine, joined, of course, by Nicole White and Heidi DeRusso of One & Company at William Ravis Real Estate. What's up, ladies?
Morning? Afternoon?
Morning.
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
The afternoon.
Nicole, I mean, I know it's Sundays you like to sleep in, but, you know, this is...
Who sleeps
in? This is afternoon.
We
1 o'clock is the afternoon.
Yes. And sleeping in is like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you just go through a daze all morning then.
Basically.
Just how was the night last night?
What's that? What was the question?
How was the night?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
How about your evening?
It was pretty good. It wasn't bad. I flew back from Dallas, so that was my evening.
Sort of a crummy day, though, here in Connecticut, which doesn't work well for wanting to get your pajamas off, but we're here.
Yeah. We're doing it, and if you are a Connecticut homeowner, every day is a good day right now because your equity is up. Nationally, it's up over $26,000. What do you think? Do you think most people think that they've got more than $26,000 in Connecticut in gained equity in the last year or less?
I think it's a split. I think some people are pleasantly surprised by how much equity they have, and then others are very optimistic about their assumption.
Like overly optimistic?
Like
it should be more?
Yes.
I was surprised to see some of these states, you know, California, for example, is 55,000 in gained equity.
Thank God.
Yeah, one of the largest equity gains in the last year for California. Idaho, Washington, 48,000, 47,000 respectively. Meanwhile, North Dakota was the lowest average equity gain in the fourth quarter of 2020 at $8,000. But that's probably still good for North Dakota.
That's probably pretty fair.
Yeah, I don't know much about them. But
I don't know a thing about North Dakota. How do we know that that's fair?
Well, if you think about it, like who's coming in and out of North Dakota? So like what's the, what's the turnover? So like let's keep our equity like at a baseline.
South Dakota had insufficient data. So I just don't think there's much happening in the Dakotas. But Northeast did pretty good. New York even, for everybody leaving the city and coming here to Connecticut, overall the state of New York. And a lot of people did go upstate that wanted to leave the city. New York gained 25,000 in homeowner equity. Massachusetts at 38,000. Rhode Island at 39,000. And so Northeast did pretty good. We're not going to give away Connecticut's just yet. We'll give away the number later in the show. But if you want to, we'll start off by juicing everybody up on some gift cards here on this beautiful Sunday. If you want to get... Yeah, beautiful.
You might be beautiful where you are.
If it's Sunday and you're a homeowner right now, if you're a single family homeower in Connecticut specifically, it's a beautiful day.
I mean, it's a good day to be a homeowner.
You're making money.
It's true.
Absolutely. Well, you don't make the money until you sell it, but that's a whole other conversation.
Or you're pulling out some equity to maybe update your kitchen, update your bathrooms. Now's the time to do it.
A lot of people are doing that right now.
Now's the time.
Very excited.
Mm-hmm. Really? We're excited about that?
Add on a garage. Listen, I'm excited if you want to put a garage on your house, because in 10 years from now, you'll probably want to sell it and it will help.
You want a garage?
It gets me a little nervous. Yeah. It makes me a little nervous if too many people are pulling equity out of their homes for those types of improvements. You know, do you get all the money back on your garage? Sometimes you do. Depends on the neighborhood. Depends on other variables.
Well, I think it depends on, though. I mean, if you really need a garage and want a garage, I mean, there's going to be a cost of using your garage for the amount of time, too. So whether you get the money back or not, I guess you have to weigh how long you're going to stay there for. But
and you use it.
You're going to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's cheaper than a storage unit.
Let's give away some easy Martin's money. Martin's money, of course, is gift cards to our great local Connecticut restaurants that we give to you if you can answer questions correctly. This is courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist, as well as we're going to start talking about Irish Springs Pool Water. That's their other company. We're almost getting close to pool season. We're a little far away, but you should start planning your pool water delivery with Irish Springs Pool Water. In the meantime, we're just going to give away a whole bunch of Martin's money with Connecticut gift cards. So if you can email in to info@oneandcompany.com, info spelt just like it sounds, info@oneandcompany.com, not the number one, oneandcompany.com. Answer in was Connecticut. higher or lower than the national average for equity gained, for national homeowner equity gained, which in the fourth quarter of 2020, the average homeowner gained approximately $26,300 in equity during the past year. So for Connecticut homeowners, all you got to do is answer in higher or lower, info@oneandcompany.com. Go ahead, email that in quickly. The first person that gets that right, it's a 50-50 chance, higher or lower. First person that gets that right is going to get a gift card to a local Connecticut restaurant, courtesy of Service Station Equipment. And I mean, if you're driving, try not to email. Just, you know, we'll give away some more money later in the show. But if you are not driving, email in higher or lower to info@oneandcompany.com. Were you guys surprised to see, even knowing the market so well, were you surprised by the result or just not surprised at all?
By Connecticut's result?
Connecticut specifically, yeah.
No, I guess I'm not surprised by Connecticut's result. I feel like I'm a little bit more surprised by Florida's result.
Me too.
But I'm feeling like maybe there's now so much, and you know the Florida market much better than I do, but I imagine there's probably a lot of new construction going on down there. Mm-hmm. Which is maybe what's keeping that number a little bit lower. We don't have a lot of new construction up here in Connecticut. So if you need to buy a house or want to buy a house, it's typically a used house. So I think that that's probably helping drive these numbers in these directions.
It's not a lot of new construction. It is thousands and thousands of newly built homes, like everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. It's kind of crazy.
I think that's the same true for Texas too, because again, Texas is at a $12,000 and again, Florida's at 19. I mean, there is so much going on in Texas too. I mean, I think I've talked about it at least with you guys before when I was down there. I mean, there's like 500, you know, new home subdivisions that are being built, new schools are being built. I mean, you just don't even hear of that here in the Northeast.
No, we're all built up already.
No, so we're to go. In fact, you know, some builders, I haven't seen that in Florida over this winter, but across the country anyways, numbers are coming in that new home starts are really coming to a stop. And part of that, it's not, you know, everybody's getting more equity and so values are going up, but part of that is because this cost of material just keeps accelerating.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for these builders to like know, okay, well, if I'm going to start building today and the market's going to shift in 9 months, and I'm paying today's cost of material and cost to construct, it's a big risk. And so, yeah, maybe I'm just not going to do it. Maybe I'll, you know, what Heidi mentioned earlier, maybe I'll just go do one of these remodels, people pulling out their equity. I know that's a guaranteed score for me.
Yeah, so. That's basically what they're doing right now. I actually just got a client in contract this past week for a new build. And the agent who's listing it called me and she's like, if he locks in today, he will get $459. If he locks in tomorrow, it's going up much higher. And they switched the price on the MLS. So
all right, so you still have a chance to email in info@oneandcompany.com. Was Connecticut higher or lower than the national homeowner equity gained for 2020? National number was $26,300. So email in higher or lower for Connecticut, and we come back, we're going to give you that answer. You're listening to Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools.
Was Connecticut higher or lower in our equity gained, our homeowner equity? The national average was $26,300. We've been taking your answers over at info@oneandcompany.com. All you got to do is email, was Connecticut higher or lower than the national homeowner equity gained, which again was just over $26,000. This is Real Estate Radio. I'm Byron Lazine. I've got Nicole White and Heidi DeRusso with me, and let's just give the answer. All right, we've got some emails in here. Connecticut came in higher at $32,000 for equity gained. Pretty good number. It's above the average. You know, some of the largest we mentioned earlier were California, which was a little surprising. Idaho, Washington, Obviously, California has a higher price point. So California going at 54,000, you know, across the board, they're at a higher price point. So
I kind of love this where like you're like, you know, your states, Byron, this mm-hmm. is, I mean, these aren't even labeled. You're really just going
California's
off of the
a
map.
Pretty obvious That's one. California's
I'm proud of you.
One. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it's, they teach you that early though. So, mm.
They really so anyways, that in you.
Connecticut's in the top tier for average equity gain. The top tier on this chart, which is a CoreLogic chart. They collect the most data in the real estate industry nationally. A lot of the MLSs, the multiple listing services, if you will, real estate lingo. But anyways, CoreLogic delivers a lot of data to the MLSs, and Connecticut is in the top group. These dark blue states for average equity gain came in at 32,000, which, listen, it took a long time for people really to feel good about the value of their home here. So this is all positive stuff.
I mean, we're close to Hawaii. Like, Hawaii's at 39,000.
Yeah.
I mean, people want to be in Connecticut almost as badly as they want to be in Hawaii. That's the way I look at it.
It could be true. Maybe not entirely true, but mm-hmm. but yeah.
It's close.
No, I get it. Yeah, that it's a good number. And, you know, we still, though, are you know, not everybody is winning in Connecticut. I mean, I guess, you know, we're highlighting the good. We want to be very transparent here and give everybody all the data. There is another chart, which is the national aggregate value of negative equity. And so negative equity peaked at 26% of mortgaged residential properties in the fourth quarter of 2009. Again, based on CoreLogic equity data analysis, which began in the third quarter of 2009. So 26% of homes that were mortgaged, this was national number, had negative equity. Of course, 2009.
I was very after... much part of that group and probably still am.
No, you're good now, Nicole. I mean, this last year kind of brought you back up to speed on,
we'll see,
on your investment property that you are referring to. And listen, a lot of people were still part of the 26% just as recently as 18 months ago. And then 2020 has erased that, you know, negative equity. But Connecticut still has, so we were in the high category, the top tier for average equity gained across the board of the state, but we're also in the very high, the highest category for a negative equity share. There is only six states, and we're one of them, that is in that category. We're sitting over 5% of the mortgaged homes still today have negative equity. So these are, I'm going to guess, it doesn't say if these are single families versus condos. I mean, single families on average, we're above anywhere in the peak in Connecticut from 2007. We are, the median sale price and the average sale price in Connecticut is above any of the highest peak months of 2007 as we sit here in Q1 of 21 today. So I don't know if these are some condos or maybe it's just,
well, you got to keep
in
mind, though,
overpaid in a high market.
Well, again, you got to keep in mind the people that did reverse mortgages. I mean, mm-hmm. it, you know, a lot of people were refinancing, again, sort of like we were talking about right now, pulling out money. And if you're not trading, you know, these appraisals are just based on what they think that value is. It's not really true market value. You know, what do we say? Like, house is only worth what a buyer's willing to pay. But yep. So, you know, the people that were doing these reverse mortgages, I'm certain are still probably potentially in the red. That's probably making up, you know, some of that 5% that we're seeing. Again, the refis, because I do agree. I mean, I have to say, though, I still don't truly believe that my investment property is really at the number that I bought it for. So I do still think that there are some towns that have yet to sort of bounce back. But we also have to be super cognizant of the state over the last 15 years. Yeah, we had a great, obviously, year now, but it's still going to, I feel like, may take a little bit of time to really catch up to all these other states that have been progressively getting better. But
do you mind using your investment property? Well, we call it an investment property, but maybe bad investment property.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't purchased as an investment property. It was purchased as my investment. Primary home.
Yes.
Yes.
And now you have a new primary.
Yes.
For many years, and it turned into on tax qualification, an investment property. Yep. Because you lease it out. Can we use that as an example? Do you mind sharing some numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. What do you want?
You bought a house on the shoreline.
I bought a house on the shoreline. It was a split level, no garage, 3-bedroom, 1-bath, maybe, again, including our basement, maybe like 1,600 square feet. I bought it for $309,000.
In what year again?
I bought it in 2005.
Okay.
It was, I think it was right before my husband and I got married in August. So we bought it that fall. It was probably September or October of 2005.
In 2005, you weren't the dominant real estate agent that you are today.
To, be quite honest, though, too, what ended up happening is in 2005 as well, they were doing those interest-only mortgages as well. Yep. So we were only paying our interest. So we actually did get a phone call from our mortgage company before the bottom sort of dropped out and said, hey, we want to move you into a 5-year ARM. What we didn't realize, obviously, at that time, too, was that there was probably almost after us living there for maybe, 3 or 4 years, we'd almost added almost an additional $30,000 onto our bottom line because we were doing only interest. So, mm-hmm. What we originally had financed added, after 3 years, we owed another $30,000 on top of that.
But we're talking about the number you had mentioned. You don't think it's worth the number you purchased at, or are you talking about the additional interest?
Well, no, I'm still talking about it. The 309. I'm still not so certain that it's worth the 309.
Well, let's focus on the 309. Yeah. Do you feel like knowing the market now, mm-hmm. looking back, I mean, obviously then you probably just bought because it was a market similar to today where, you just had to buy what you could buy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you overpaid at the 309? Was the real value of 2005 300, or did you pay the current market value at that time?
I'm pretty certain that I paid the market value at the time, okay. Based on everything else that we were looking at and seeing it. We were definitely getting the most for our money. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I would agree, and I would argue that the market value today is above because there's far less inventory than there was in 2005, and I can bring up those numbers so we're mm-hmm. not just speaking. I want to be transparent and give the exact number of homes for sale in 2005 versus today. There's far less inventory and there's incredible demand for single family homes. I think your home is worth at least $325,000, and I've been urging you to challenge me on this by placing it on the market. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to bet you that it sells for over 309 in this market.
Okay.
I mean, you can't wait till quarter four when things start tanking on us here. In this market, as we sit here today, if you get it on the market, if it sells for less than 309, I'll give you $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been recorded.
Don't sell it for 308. I mean.
No, yeah. Well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could sell for 3.25, that would be amazing. Again, I mean, there's so many other things too, I mean, that are dragging me into this. Cause again, we bought it in 2005. The roof at that time was maybe 5 years old, but now it's what, 20 years old. Mm-hmm. I never updated the kitchens or the bathroom. So those are, again, 15 years older than when I bought it. So those are the things obviously as a homeowner that are going through my head. And it's always really hard. I mean, I did try to sell that house back in 2015, and I was the worst agent for myself, to be honest, because I was like every other homeowner, right? So I ended up handing it off to another agent on the team. But yeah, I mean,
And how come it didn't sell?
It was 2015 was really not a great market. So what ended up happening was we put it on the market at 299, hoping to at least recoup at least what we had mortgaged. Mm-hmm. And then it got down to 275. Oof. And then in all honesty, it got to the point where instead of, because we'd have to almost come to the table with $25,000 when we closed.
Right.
Luckily, we were fortunate enough to be able to buy our next house while keeping it. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather keep the $25,000 in my pocket. So
yeah.
We decided, again, we were extremely lucky and not everyone can have the luxury of keeping one and buying another, but we were lucky enough to do that. So it just made the most sense to keep the money in our pocket and to just keep paying it down and hope maybe one day it would be like our kids' college fund or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I mean, if you don't sell it, we've talked about it before, you can always refinance it. Maybe pull the equity out and put on a new roof.
Oh boy. I think I'd rather just sell it.
I stand corrected.
Uh-oh.
In Connecticut, we are basically even with the beginning of 2005 for single family homes, because we're talking about single family homes. So I just want to, you know, have really, you know, apples to apples here. Mm-hmm. Anyways, single family homes, 2005, there was 11,000, we'll call it 11,500, just rounding up at this time in 2005. And today we sit at 11,493 single family homes. This is across Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to take a small town like Clinton, which we're talking about, and, you know, compare 44 homes to 54 homes. That doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. But across the state, 11,500. So that's the same exact place in terms of inventory as 2005. You know, I'm shortly after the first quarter of 2005, inventory started to spike dramatically. By quarter four of 2005, it was over 14,000 single family homes. And then by mid 2006, there was over 19,000 homes. By the end of 2006, there was over 22,000 homes for sale. And this is what I keep talking about here. People are going to see the opportunity mm-hmm. in this market with all the equity they've gained, mm-hmm. and they are going to start putting their homes on the market.
Absolutely.
If you're thinking about selling in the next year or two, we're going to tell you exactly when you should sell when we come back on Real Estate Radio. You're listening to WDRC, the talk of Connecticut. If you've been thinking about selling this year or in the next 2 years, when should you do it? We're going to tell you exactly when. This is Byron Lazine, Nicole White, and Heidi DeRusso of One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate. If you've been listening, we're talking about all the equity we've gained here in Connecticut in the last year. In fact, we are over the national average, which was just over $26,000 in 2020. Connecticut is over $32,000. But this market, it's not something that can just continue to go up. It's not sustainable to continue to increase at the rate that it has for a number of factors. One being rising interest rates. Quarter four of 2020, we were sitting at 2.75. We're sitting in, you know, it keeps touching 3.5. And there's belief that by the end of the year, it could even be as much as four or more. So as interest rates rise, obviously the amount of money buyers, specifically millennial buyers that are competing right now in multiple offer situations in the median price points, can afford less as that continues. These rising prices are, you know, impacting what they can buy and what they cannot buy. And then an increase in inventory, which I believe right now we're sitting back into, as proven wrong before, we were sitting back at 2005 levels. But shortly, if we just look at history, shortly into 2005, when we had those historically low inventory levels, it started to shoot up. And by the end of 2006, we were double the amount of inventory. So by this time next year, we could potentially have double the inventory available. There's a lot of, if there's any agents listening to this right now, they're like, oh, please, thank you. We need double the inventory right now. But more options give buyers more leverage, and things will shift. Things will ebb and flow. So here's the answer. If you're thinking about selling in the next 2 years and money is important to you, there's a lot of things that go into this, right? How do you, like, when we have a conversation with a seller, it's like, well, what's most important to you? If you're thinking about selling the next few years, is it staying in this home? Is it a lifestyle situation? I mean, if money is not at the top of the list, and it's not for everybody, it is for most people when they're selling their home. Mm-hmm. But if money's not at the top of the list, then there's going to be other deciding factors. But if money's at the top of the list, this is as good as it gets right now.
Yeah, no, definitely is a good time now to get ready. I think a lot of people are seeing that opportunity too. Everyone's questioning, okay, what's my house worth now? And now spring is coming, so their flowers are going to be out. Their yard is going to be green. So I think I think we're going to see the inventory continue to go up. But, you know, I think everyone's question is, oh, are we in a bubble now too? I don't know if we're going to be in a bubble. I think the demand's always going to be there. Like the millennials, they're all jumping in the homeownership game. They take up 30% of our population right now. I think that's going to continue over the next 10 years. So as the inventory goes up, I think the demand is still going to keep up with it.
Just over the last 7 days, and this is, I've got, let me just look here. What do I have? I think I have Hartford County, Middlesex County, New Haven, and New London County. Over the last 7 days, there have been 869 new listings. That's above what we saw go into contract at 666. So we were seeing for so many 7 day rolling periods, the under contracts bigger than the new listings. So you're already starting to see people take the opportunity, take the moment, put their house on the market. They've gained all their equity back. They're likely, you know, they have a 95% chance of having, you know, more equity than they did in 2007. So we did reference that Connecticut has 5.2% of mortgage homes with still negative equity, but most people have positive equity and most people are above even their number if they bought in 2005, 2006, 2007, including Nicole in the example we've referenced earlier in the show. And you're going to see more and more and more people take the opportunity right now. They understand that interest rates are rising. They understand that the buyer demand is so significant. I mean, just yesterday, my sister, who's looking and shopping right now, went to a house that was listed just yesterday. I had a 5-hour open house. There's people crawling all over this property. And there's already in the first day over 5 offers. And, you know, of course, the listing, we're dealing with this every day. Listing agent's dragging his feet, going to collect 10 plus offers. And, you know, the thing's going to go multiple tens of thousands over the list price. And it's tough when you're in a buyer because you're just like, is this market ever going to end? Oh my gosh. It'll end. The ones that are patient will, you know, be happy that they were. But they're also going to be faced with a higher interest rate. So there's a trade-off there. If you find the right home you want right now and you can get it at the low interest rate, it probably evens out when the interest rate turns to 4.5%. You know, 3.5% to 4.5%. Usually you get 1% interest rate increase, you have a 10% drop in home values. That's the rule of thumb. We haven't seen that yet with the 0.5% interest rate. Mm-hmm. No, we haven't. But the rule of thumb historically is 1% increase on interest rate, 10% home values go down, 10%. All right, let's go. Let's get into our One in Company Rewind really quick. Maybe then we can give away a little bit more of Martin's money.
There's some open houses going on today too, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. What are the open houses? You might still have a little bit of time to get to 66 High Street, which ends at 2 o'clock, right?
That ends at 2. Yep, and then you got your Fox Hop Yard. Right, isn't Lee over
Fox
at Hop
Fox Yard
Hop Yard today?
Ends at 3. So if you're driving around Guilford and you've got some time to kill, go over to 66 High Street in Guilford, Horton Group Development.
We have one unit left. We sold 2 units over the last 2 days.
All these units are a million and up. They've broken every single New Haven County record. I don't know who I'm saying they. We've broken all the records. We are Barry Bonds over here, and we're not taking steroids. Every single record in New Haven County has been smashed over at 66 High Street, and there's literally one unit left in the LEAP building. You can walk to the green, you can walk to the shops, to the martinis, to the beach, to the train. 66 High Street, Guilford, one unit remaining, Horton Group Development, award-winning development. And if you can't get over to the open house, you want information on that, just email Nicole at oneandcompany.com. Or Nicole, where can people text you for
66 my number High is 203-430-5926.
All right. And we're going to release prices soon on the Chittenden building, right?
Yeah. Hopefully, we're just sort of narrowing in on when we can actually start pouring foundation. But as soon as we get that date, we'll be launching the third and final building over there, the Chittenden building. So hopefully by the end of April, we'll have some numbers out for everybody.
All right. So stay tuned for that. You can get on the waiting list if you just want to text over or email, say, put me on the High Street waiting list. And we also have an open house over at Fox Hop Yard. Just go to Fox Hop Yard Golf Course, follow the signs to 607 Fox Hop Yard. That is the model home. In fact, this week we did sell another lot over there. So the lots at Fox Hop Yard for new custom homes are also selling pretty quickly. Two, I think, in the last couple of weeks.
Awesome.
And those are starting at $599,000. You can get a custom home built from Usello Development, and the model home is on for just under $1.1 million. It's over 4,200 squared finish feet. Beautiful construction from Usello, and you can get over there today all the way till 3 o'clock. 607 Fox Hop Yard. You buy a Fox Hop Yard, you get a free 1 year golf membership, and we've got homes starting at $599. So get over to Fox Hop Yard and check those out. We also have our rewind for the week. If you ever want us to promote your property on this show, just email us info@oneandcompany.com. We'd be happy to read your open house or your new listing. Whether you're an agent, a for sale by owner, a homeowner, we're willing to help anybody here on Real Estate Radio. But the One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate, new listings for the week. We had seven of them. It's 7 Long Hill Farm in Guilford, 552 Hartford Pike in Killingly. We had 61 Flax Mill Road in Brantford, piece of land for $100,000. 27 Golick Ave in Shelton for $199,900. 499 Totocket Road in North Brantford. Some acreage there for $600,000.
That's a new construction, yep.
New construction package for I'm sorry, you're right. $600,000 new construction in North Brantford, and then 45 Jefferson Road, Brantford for $95,000, and 629 New Haven Ave in Milford for $368,000.
I think half of those are probably already sold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the Killingly one is.
Yeah,
the
Long Hill Road's under contract. The Milford one's under contract.
Brantford's under contract. Yeah.
This is the power of being a seller in this market. You put your house on, you price it correctly, and you position it to the market correctly, you're going to have a lot of success. All right. Under contracts, we had seven of them.
Oh, I showed that Moose Hill one. Who did that one?
I don't know.
Good for them. Love Moose Hill.
We had Moose Hill go under contract in Guilford. We also had under contracts in Seymour, Killingly, which was the listing there. Another one in Guilford, which was the listing. Guilford again, Shelton, and Waterford. And then two closings, one in Brantford and one in Wallingford. That's your One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate. Rewind of the week. All right, when we close this out, I think we're going to give away some more of Martin's money.
Gotta.
So if you want a gift card to your favorite local Connecticut restaurant, stay with us. We're giving away Martin's money, courtesy of Service Station Equipment, when we come back on Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut. Earlier in the show, we gave you the answer. Connecticut is over the national homeowner equity gained on average, which nationally is approximately $26,300 during the past year. Connecticut sits at $32,000. We are in the top tier of average equity gained year over year in the United States. I'm Byron Lazine. We've got Nicole White, Heidi DeRusso, One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate. You're listening to Real Estate Radio on WDRC, of course. And we want to give away some more of Martin's money. All you have to do is email your answers into info@oneandcompany.com. That's all spelt out how it sounds, oneandcompany.com, info at oneandcompany.com. And so the question is, Connecticut, we are sitting at $315,000 in our rolling 12 months for the median sale price. Okay, so median sale price is at $315,000 on the rolling 12. That's higher than at any point during the peak, which in 2007 we peaked out at $310,000 on a rolling 12-month span. Where are we on the average? Okay, so the average sale price back then, we got all the way up to $450,000 during the last peak. I'm going to make it easy again for Martin's money. All you got to do is answer over $450,000 or under $450,000. So just email your answers into info@oneandcompany.com. Over $450,000 for the average sale price in Connecticut or under. All right. Easy one. I like to make it easy on the people. We've got plenty of Martin's money to spend, so why not spend it? You guys, did you guys leave the show?
We're here.
Oh, you are.
We're here, yeah.
Oh, good. We're getting new listeners. Good. You Instagramming?
Instagramming, what, Nicole, no.
We're falling into
our hot sheet over here.
Oh, great. Good time to do it when we're when we're on live on WDRC here, you know.
There's always new listings. You have to be the first one to look at them for your clients. We're just, you know, we're trying to multitask.
Nicole always does a good job looking at the hot sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you on the hot sheet every single day, Heidi?
I am. And every night.
Hot sheet's super realtor lingo. We're going to be losing some people. So explain what the hot sheet is and why that's important for all of your clients in the market right now.
The hot sheet is like when we log into the MLS, the multiple listing service, it gives us a list of all of the new homes in the areas that we cover. And also like the price decreases, what went on deposit, what closed, what's coming on the market soon. Like it is, it's like our Wall Street Journal, you know, it's our news. And then like, I don't know about you, Nicole, but I like to just look at the hot sheet and I'll send them all over to my clients, like a text, like a link to Zillow or HomeSnap. I do that in the morning and I do that at night because even though they're like on the search, I don't want them to like miss anything that I think would be a good fit for them.
I think what's really important about the hot sheet though too, more and more things are coming back on the market. So yes. It makes us as agents aware of things that have popped back on. And then I feel like, especially in this market, we have maybe the last couple of years, there's a new coming soon tab where agents are able to upload photos 2 weeks before they're actually going to be going live. I think more and more agents are now utilizing that, especially in this market. Mm-hmm. What it's allowing homeowners to do is to have pretty much all their showings lined up before they go live, so that they have some advance notice of when the showings are and when they need to leave the house. So I think that is a huge resource in this market. And again, Zillow is actually feeding these to clients too. So if you are an agent, hopefully you're looking at those coming soons too, because your clients are certainly seeing them as well. But yeah, no, I think there's lots of wonderful resources on the hot sheet. I look at it at least probably 3-4 times a day. Mostly too, because I think that our clients, not just buyers, but sellers need to know what is coming on, what's going off, what has sold, what hasn't sold, what's reduced in price, days on market, all those fun numbers.
Yeah, especially the close, because then, especially now, the numbers are changing so quickly. So it's good to see like this one in Milford goes on for $375, it closed at $419, and just good to watch those.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the coming soons right now. The coming soon is just it's a really smart tool.
Especially now. Again, you can pretty much know what the day that thing goes live that you should probably be going to a hotel, maybe hit up a spa for the day. Again, and even as agents, you know exactly what to expect now because, you know, you've let your listing pretty much live on MLS for 2 weeks before it goes live.
I'm looking at this coming soon in Clinton, 22 Janes Lane extension.
For $319, I see it.
Yeah, for $319. Mm-hmm. That is going to sell for like $343, something like that. That's just my prediction.
Well, hopefully it'll More than that. That's got a garage. It's got four bedrooms, one and a half baths. You're thinking of your quit. I mean, come on.
All right, so $350. It probably, I mean, listen, it probably will. It probably will sell for $350. And that's what we're seeing here. When, I mean, there is going to be serious demand for this house. There's just no question. I mean, it's outdated, but I'm sorry if the homeowner is listening, but
the living space,
it doesn't really matter. It's, I mean, the place is going to sell for way over asking price. And there's going to be a feeding frenzy. I mean, it's right in that price range that people are looking. Remember, we're sitting right now rolling 12 months across the state at a median sale price of $315,000. So this is being listed right at the median, and it will be bid up. I would bet any amount on that being bid up. So
that'll be a fun one to follow.
Info at company. That'll be a fun one to follow. We should see if we're
we
right.
Will.
But info@oneandcompany.com. All you got to do. So median sale price is different from the average. The average in the last peak of 2007 was over 450,000. Are we over that number, or was just at 450? Are we over 450,000 for the average sale price, or are we under 450,000 for our current average sale price on single family homes in Connecticut? If you email info@oneandcompany.com, get that answer correct. We will send you a gift card to your favorite local restaurant, courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. All right, what do you guys got going on this week? Where can people get a hold of you if they're thinking about buying in this market or selling in this market? Nicole, we'll start with you.
I just gave Heidi the head nod. She was supposed to go.
Oh, you did? Give it. Well, then
it's all right. I'll go. I'm Nicole. You can always call or text me on my cell phone. My number is 203-430-5926. Again, 203-430-5926. Again, calling and texting is probably the quickest and best way to get a hold of me, since obviously we live with our cell phones. This week, I actually have a new listing coming on. On Tuesday, we will be listing a condo in Clinton. So excited to put that one out there and
ooh,
see what goes
much?
On. 135.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, one wow. bedroom, one bath.
When does it go on?
Hopefully, it'll be on there on Tuesday.
Okay, yeah. I think I have a buyer.
Oh, good.
I'll look for
I feel
it.
Like
look
we've talked about Clinton quite a bit on this show.
We have been talking about Clinton. Yeah, let's...
Clinton's getting a lot
town.
Of love here. Jeez.
Great town beach.
Oh, the beach is great. Low tide. You could like walk out. It's amazing.
That town to the west is just.
You mean the double though. The double west? You mean
double west? No.
How about you, Heidi? West. Where are you? Can you be west. Found?
You can text me or call me as well. 203-444-4075. Again, it's 203-444-4075. Obviously, Instagram is always fun to follow me on, Heidi.DeRusso. And I have a new listing coming out on Thursday. I utilize the coming soon thing, and we have like a ton of showings already set
Isn't
up.
It great?
I love it. And people are driving by it too.
Love
like
it.
Send your clients
super
drive
sketchy,
by.
But good.
Well, you know, it's yeah. fine, but it's cute race ranch right under, I think, 360.
Oh, in Madison. Right?
Madison, close yep. to town, public water.
What a town.
It's great. So check that out Thursday. Great. You can text me or call me if you want to get in as well.
All right, there you go. That's what's happening this week with Nicole and Heidi. If you've got any real estate questions, hit one of them up, or you can always find us at oneandcompany.com, all spelt out, O-N-E-A-N-D, company spelt out, .com. If you've got questions about your home's equity, again, Connecticut rose $32,000 in the last year on average, which beats the national average. If you've got questions about what your home is worth, definitely reach out to us at oneandcompany.com and we'll get you set up right away. If you're thinking about selling, I think I've been saying it the last couple of weeks, and I'll probably be saying it for another 30 to 45 days because it's just my looking at all this data that we have, looking at past trends. It's just my strong feeling that we are at the top of what you can get for your...
Agree.
For your home on the market. So doesn't mean you should put your home on the market. You know, if you're staying in your home, there'd be no reason to sell because you got to go rent or buy. But if you are thinking about selling in the next year or two, I would do it now and figure out a you know, a bridge plan in between, and we can talk to you about exactly what your options would be there. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. We will see you every single Sunday here at 1 with Nicole White, Heidi DeRusso, and myself, Byron Lazine of One & Company at William Ravis Real Estate. Have a great rest of your Sunday. You're listening to WDRC, the Talk of Connecticut. The first game.